Hello, everybody. I'm George from Ireland. Thanks for coming to my channel. Right, this is day, my goodness, is it 22 of the Iran war, which we were told was completed almost, was that 10 days ago, had already been won a week ago, and so on. And now Donald Trump initially said it was going to be 5 weeks, then Pete Hegseth says it's going to be 8 weeks. I wonder whether the 5 weeks forecast will be about right, at least from the US plan. I mean, they didn't really have a plan. Make it up as you go along. That's a wonderful idea when you're going to be killing thousands of people and just assuming it'll turn out for the best, just lob in a few tomahawks and not thinking repercussions. I do this, they're going to do what? Oh, how are we going to cope with that? And there's no indication, not the slightest one, that the regime in Iran is going to be overthrown. And yeah, they've been hammered in some ways. They killed that intelligence chief recently, this new supreme leader, maybe he's going to be killed. But, you know, Iran is a country of 90 million people. That's a lot of people you'd have to kill. I mean, the regime, even if it's with 1% of those. Now, you think people would be unwilling to accept promotion because you're putting your neck in a noose. So, you know, Donald Trump publicly expressed himself to be rancorously disappointed that Sir Keir Starmer did not immediately say, yeah, use our air bases, use our territory to aggress Iran. I mean, they won't have any blowback on us. Even if it's illegal, we don't care. No, to give him credit for once, Starmer had a bit of backbone and said no. Seems has been dragged into it subsequently, and so forth. You see how it's roiled energy markets, and everybody knew this. Why was everybody such a wimp, according to Trump, for not doing this? Well, partly because it was illegal, it was unwarranted, all the rest of it, but they knew that there would be consequences. It was a blindingly blatant thing to do. The blatancy of it is because, of course, Iran's done it before, the tanker wars in the mid-1980s, and hundreds of ships hit. I mean, only about 50 of them sunk. The United States Navy, Royal Navy, had to escort them out of the Persian Gulf. But yeah, so that was costly. And the Arab countries knew this was going to happen. And they pleaded him not to do it. And then Trump assured them he'd keep the Strait of Hormuz open, which he signally failed to do. Reneging his electoral pledges. Remember, he said no more foreign wars. And even Tulsi Gabbard sold T-shirts saying no war against Iran. And so he's reneged on an explicit election pledge, which he repeated dozens of times on the stump. But maybe Trump doesn't care, even though his approval ratings are rock bottom, because, of course, he's not going to seek public office again. Now, if they get smashed in the midterms, the Republican Party, they lose control of Capitol Hill, that'll make the last 2 years of the Trump presidency very difficult. How will he advance his agenda? Another problem for him is not quite that. It'll queer the pitch for J.D. Vance, and that would secure his legacy, a Republican president going forward, or another member of the Trump dynasty. So maybe there will be another Trump dynast, whether a blood relative or his adoptive son, J.D. Vance. I mean, not literally, legally adopted. Okay, so it was all so idiotic and all end in tears. And had he just said the objective was to degrade Iranian military capability, he could have cried victory. But because he foolishly said it was going to be regime change, he's going to lose by his own definition. There doesn't seem to be any chance they're going to do that. And the Iranians saying, well, you had the best of it to begin with. Now we're having the best of it. And will they be able to sink even one U.S. warship? The United States would regard that as a catastrophe. A U.S. warship hasn't been sunk since, my God, since like the Second World War. I know there was one off Yemen that was hit by Al-Qaeda about 1998, but it didn't sink. Even that one that the Iraqis struck with a missile in like the 1980s, killed like 37 sailors. I don't think the ship went to the bottom. And so Trump, he didn't build a coalition. He didn't keep his allies on board. He's been openly contemptuous of European NATO countries and so forth. And the Gulf Arab countries are not fighting for him. They're just trying to shoot down drones and stay out of it. The Saudi Arabians have now threatened Iran. They might launch airstrikes in Iran. So the Iranians, are they going to say bring it on? The Iranians are letting some tankers through, those taking oil to China, possibly to India, countries that are friendly with them. And you see the advantage of being on the right side of Iran, partly the Iranians, they can get a bit of money. Now, would you stop these of the United States? Probably not, because make the oil price go even higher. It's laws of supply and demand. I can see why Trump went bankrupt 4 times, because he doesn't know these most fundamental principles of trade. So yeah, that's 20% of all global oil goes through the Strait of Hormuz. So it doesn't mean that 20% is gone, but it's down to, you know, not even a quarter of what it was. And it's the uncertainty how long this is going to go on for. Now, thank God it happened as we're coming into spring when demand is down. Imagine this happened going into winter, it'd be even worse. And even if he says in 2 weeks, right, it's over, the Iranians say, no, 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 we're keeping the Strait of Hormuz closed. We're going to teach you a very, very painful, expensive lesson. You don't mess with us. Goodness. So there he has expressed his withering disdain for the United Kingdom, other NATO countries, but now he might learn a healthy respect for them. The United States also needs allies. They can't do everything on their own, even though the US Navy is the biggest, is the most capable. They want other warships there, people to take some of the casualties for them. They want access to bases. They want other troops. But boots on the ground, I would say, you know, significant ground invasion. Nobody's talking about that. Netanyahu, for once, told the truth. The regime is not going to be changed unless you have a massive invasion. That would be hundreds of thousands of troops. This would make Iraq look like a picnic. It's four times the size of Iraq in area, in population. It's very mountainous. It'd be a very, very tough nut to crack. And I don't have anyone in the United States who's advocating that. It's not going to happen. So what I'm banking on is Taco. Trump always chickens out. Plus, I get bored of the idea they might invade Cuba. You see, that is an achievable aim. I'm not suggesting it. It's immoral. It's illegal. Don't do it. But, you know, knowing what Trump will do, that would not be unlikely. So, yeah, I thought he was going to do something. I mean, you even said it on this channel. There are going to be airstrikes and so on. But he's not going to be mad enough to invade on the ground because that would be cataclysmic. I think even Trump could probably perceive that. So, yeah. Trump, you've got to be a team player. You've got to keep it on board and know this is not a NATO mission. And you haven't invoked Article 5 of the NATO Charter. I don't want people voting every 5 minutes. No NATO country fought for the United States in Vietnam, or NATO countries didn't fight for the United Kingdom in the Falklands or whatever. Or other countries didn't invoke it in other places, like France fighting in Algeria, though that was the domestic French state at the time. There might be other examples of it. So, end this war now. And Trump, you know, you caused this whole problem. Nobody needed to be killed. The global oil price could have stayed low. You're all about low prices, you know, affordable petroleum. Well, you made it really unaffordable. It's moronic. It's hurting everything else because everything in terms of goods and services you purchase is related to energy somehow. Even people working in office, that's energy. Now, okay, maybe that energy was, you know, solar power or wind power or whatever, or coal or nuclear, but there's cross elasticity because you have to use more of that because there's less than oil and gas around. So every energy commodity affects all the others in terms of how much there is available. So yeah, this is completely idiotic. And it's dubious whether the United Arab Emirates and places like that, Qatar, can ever recover their reputation as being a safe place. It has roiled global transport markets, you know, tourism, civil aviation, because so many flights between Europe and the Far East used to touch down there, looking for alternative routes, that air corridor through Azerbaijan. Or maybe we're going to start changing in places like Addis Ababa. Ethiopian Airlines is really building up there and as to go around the danger zone. Oman can only take so many flights. I know the Emirates has crept up to 50% of their flights, but their load factor is down because people are too scared to fly. And aviation fuel has gone sky high in price. Some airlines are going to go bust. Thanks, Donald. Anyway, make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then in PayPal, georgecallan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.